So guess what, everybody? It's Easter, and there's lots of stuff going on. I'm so excited to be with you today. I hope that it can be a blessing to you, but more than importantly, I hope to inspire you a little bit. This is going to be an amazing day. Easter is it's everything that we want as Christians. It's everything we celebrate, and we hope that you have a blessing with it. Come on, let's get started.
So, it's Easter. What an incredible time. And I'm excited to be a part of this streaming services. And one particular reason why, because I want to see the people's stories. I want to see how God has done such a great thing all throughout the world. Every church, from here, from this church to the other side of the coast to all across the world, people are digitally telling the story of Christ and what he's did in their lives and what he's able to do in your life as well. Thank you for joining us. We hope that the day's a blessing to you. And I want to tell you the story of Jesus' resurrection and what that applies to you, how that's going to be a blessing to your life. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Luke chapter 24, verse 6 says, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Verse 9 states, And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11 states, And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want to talk about three things today that is going to be a blessing to us, and hopefully apply a little bit of Easter to us. Once again, I want to say thank you for joining us. It's, to me, what we're doing now is exactly what God said that we were going to be able to do, where we could testify and to all the world. And it could go to uttermost parts, and every church around the world is streaming their services, which is an amazing concept to me. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But I want to talk about three things that are going to be a blessing to you. The first thing, I want to talk to you about the life that dead men seek, the life that is in Christ, the life that is a blessing, the life that is abundant, the life that is better than what we are without God. The second thing I want to talk about is the gospel is about telling people. And this is where I'm going to bring up this live streaming idea and what God is doing in the midst of all this. How gospel is the gospel, the good news, the dying and crucifying of Christ and the rising again for the sins of the many. This is what we are called to do. This is the telling of the gospel. The last thing I want to talk about is the seeking of truth in times of confusion. We see this with Peter when he's with the 11, and they all say that they're just tall tales. They're not real stories. They're idle. They don't mean anything. They're just the fancies of one person. But you see him say, well, what if there is truth to this? And you see him go back to the tomb, and you see him investigate and try to make sense of the things. And he wonders on these things that he sees and that he knows. I want us to come to a place of wonder, and I want us to think about God, and I want us to think about what it is that he's doing at this very moment and how it can be a blessing to you and how it can be a blessing to me. Let's jump right into it and go into our first point, the life that dead men want and the life that Christ offers to those who seek it. We're going to throw a couple verses at you to help convey this thought. The first thing I want to talk about is the happy and the blessed life. My first verse that I'm going to throw at you is Psalms 34, verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to talk about, just for a moment, this life that dead men seek. You know, I believe when Mary was going to the tomb, and along with all the other women, and even Peter and the other disciples who would come later, I want us to see how Mary and Peter and all the other disciples who would come later were looking for hope, were looking for happiness. We're looking for something that would ease the grief that they failed. I don't want us to get away from the fact, we talked about this last week, about all that Jesus went through there on the cross. But there is an amazing thing that kind of brutality lingers. That emotional thing lingers throughout a person's life. It's not something that just happens one day and you forget it the next. It was traumatic. And these men and women remember the brutality and remember the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through at that moment. When Mary and the other ladies were coming in to put ointments and spices in there, it was a sign of respect in helping with the body and those who would be visiting. It was to help mourn. And so they were in this idea that they were doing their daily grind. They were going out and doing the things that were respectful to their community. That was respectful to those that had passed. And then to only get a glimmer of hope when they remembered. And the angels told them that he would be risen again. And when they told that, they were just spreading that hope. They were spreading that joy that came with knowing that Christ was alive. Then we see in Psalms chapter 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And I want to focus on, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." There is something to be said about Jesus' life and the life that he brings. Those of us who trust him, blessed there is a word that we don't really use anymore, but it means happy. It means happy is the man that trusts in him. When we take his words and we apply them, you see that Mary and the apostles still had this disbelief about them, that they did not trust completely. And we see that, and that's not to their shame. We do that the same. There are things that we just don't take and apply it. They're not real to us. But when we do, happiness ensues. You see the immediate change from the mourning Mary there at the grave, and then you see the joyous spirit that she has telling others. You see Peter, who at this moment was mourning and in disbelief and in no hope, had no future. But then you see, and later on in the book of Acts, you see the power descend upon him and the power at Pentecost, and you see all the amazing things. Did he slide back? Absolutely. Did he jump back to the way that he was supposed to be and have that joyous spirit rest upon him? Absolutely. Life is about highs and lows. You look at your life and you say, oh, it is a time of low. And that's not a bad thing. This is the way life is. Ever since the garden and sin entered in, there are hard things that we have to endure. But that doesn't mean you can't be happy. And that doesn't mean that you cannot have joy. And that doesn't mean you can't be blessed. God can bless you. And he does that. But there's a bottom line. There's a fine print at the bottom. And it talks about trust. That you have to give your life to Christ. The whole point of every church streaming during this time is to help you trust and to help you put your faith in a God that gives a life. You will be happy for trusting in him. You will be happy for praying. You'll be happy for reading your Bible. You'll be happy for every video that you watch, because it spreads joy and it spreads hope. And these are the things that encompass everything that we are as Christian preachers and Christian teachers and people who preach and tell the gospel. It is about giving hope and happiness to those who are broken and those who need hope. Listen, God can do a great work. The second thing about the life that dead men want is not only is it a happy life, but it's also a free life. Romans chapter 6, verses 9 through 14 state this. Verse 9 states, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." There is a freedom that comes when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's an amazing thing that Jesus allows us that freedom and gives us power and gives us the ability to drop our chains and to drop our bondage and to drop a mindset of, oh, well, this is who I am. That we cannot tell ourselves that lie. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He gives us the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is greater than anything that the world can throw at us. Greater is He that is in me than is in the world. When Jesus rests upon us, when that Holy Spirit descends upon us, just like at Pentecost, we are given a great, fervent power that we can say no to a life of bondage, and we can say no to the framework of who we thought we were. We can become more. We can become better. We are no longer bound to sin. Sin is no longer our master. It's no longer someone or something that we have to bend to. We can have freedom with the life that God gives us. We are destined. When we trust in the truths of God, when we follow after Him, we have life, we have freedom, we have happiness. But lastly, God gives us a better life than we could ever dream of. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "And the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This is one of my favorite verses, because a lot of people who are lost and a lot of people who are without church think, oh, well, if I become a Christian, I've got to change my life, and I'm happy now, so if I change it, I won't be happy when I change my life and I give over to God and I give Him everything. That's completely backwards. That's something that I don't know how the devil ever instilled that into the world, that happiness is based out of pure desire and wants and lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I don't understand how people think, well, if I settle down, if I put my roots in a church, if I, you know, sing in a choir, then I'll just become, you know, the Bible thumper and I won't be happy. I won't be happy like I am now. That's a lie. I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. And one of the greatest things in my life I ever did was at that moment when I bawled. I don't have time to go into it today, but God spoke in a great way. And what I want to tell you is that when I was on that altar and I gave my life and I said, God, you know, there's so much that I don't know about You. And I don't even know if You're real. I don't know if what I'm feeling was just bad food or if I'm just going through a severe depression right now and I'm just grasping at straws, hoping to find something. But God spoke to me. And I mean, there's only been a few times in my life where God spoke so clearly, it was almost audible. And I can remember at that moment, that moment I woke up out of a terrible dream and I cried to a God that I didn't know. And He said, listen, I'm here for you. And what you're going through is not something that you need to go through alone. I want to help you through it. And so I sought Him out and I had so much peace from a God that loved me. And I want that same peace to overwhelm everybody who watches this video, everybody who tunes in to Facebook and Instagram and all the social media outlets that are out there. And there are preachers who are giving their testimonies and preachers who are telling the power of Christ. I want them to know that there's a better life to be had when we trust in God and when we give ourselves over to Him. The only mandate for Christianity is that we tell people, that we be not ashamed of the very things that we've experienced. That we be not ashamed of a God that loves us, that we be not ashamed of church and Bible reading and prayer and this lifestyle of following and trusting in God, that we tell people about it. Read with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 8 and 9. And He says, "And they remembered His words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." You know, once we have a peace and a joy and a comfort, it's almost instinctive to spread that around, that we want other people to be happy too. It's not that we're rubbing in their face or that we're trying, but we want to know that other people can have hope and that other people can be happy and other people can find that peace and a better... I want you to look at something. And, you know, if you want to, take a break from this video and come back. But look at all the, just scroll down and look at all the sermons that are going on right now look at all the churches that are streaming. There's Hispanic churches and Black churches and white churches and big churches and small churches and every demographic from all across the world who are celebrating this life-giving power that is in Christ. And the beautiful thing is, they're all preaching the same thing. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his power. It's all about the life that comes after death. It's that wonderful telling of the gospel, which each and every preacher of the gospel, each and every person who's giving their testimony, who has an incredible story to tell, there is a fantastic truth that I want us to see, that every one of these people are telling the gospel. It's instinctive to us. It's what we want to do. We want to spread hope and happiness and eternal life and salvation and love and grace and mercy to the whole world. In the midst of chaos, when people are putting people at arm's length and they're saying, hey, don't come any closer, Christianity is saying, listen, we can keep our distance, but that doesn't mean that we have to distance ourselves from each other. We can still preach and tell people about love and compassion and mercy and life everlasting. Secondly, about this telling, I want us to look back at these verses. Look back at verses 8 and 9. And it says, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and unto the rest. You know, that was the only thing that was documented of the women, was that they told, is that they preached, that it was that they gave the gospel and this hope. Nothing else was recorded. You know, but it also says that the ones that heard didn't listen. And we'll get to that in a second. The second thing I want to talk about with this telling, two things. One is that we should always stand for the truth of God, even when the world doesn't tell us, even when the world tells us that we shouldn't. Even when the world says that we don't believe it, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. You know, they just wanted to spread the joy and happiness and the wonder about the thing that just happened. And everybody thought it was tall tales. But you don't see that ever spur the women. Matter of fact, you even see it give life. And that's something that brings me to a point I want us to see. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You know, when people tell the gospel, when people preach it, there's power in it. And those are not just our words. Those are the words of our Christ. Those are the words of our Messiah. Those are the words of Jesus. And they mean so much, and there's power in those words. And when we preach and when we teach, there's always going to be hope that is placed in people. It doesn't necessarily mean that they'll accept it, but it doesn't mean that there's not power in it. There is power in the gospel. The second part about this is that truth will always make itself known. There is so much power inside the gospel. I cannot wait to see the influence that the church is going to have over this time of crisis, when everybody's preaching in the light of social media, and the whole world gets to see our testimonies, and the whole world gets to see the power of God. It's going to be an amazing thing that you and I get to sit back and watch as God is doing a great work. As we close on this idea of telling, there's a other side of this coin, and there's a negative side, and it's the one that we see the most. And I don't want us to get so distracted and so hurt that this may not turn out the way that we wanted, or that my video is not getting the views or the likes that I wanted. Pay no attention to that, because there's two things here I want us to see. One is that the adversaries of the truth are always telling people to be quiet. The adversaries of hope want people to quench that feeling. They want people to be quiet. They don't want it to spread. Those are people who only want bad news. Those are the people who only want negativity. The last thing I want us to see is the seeking of truth in times and confusion, which I think fits best here in this venue, in social media, during a crisis where everybody doesn't know how Easter is going to impact us, how Easter is going to fill the hearts of Christianity all across the world. I see us as seekers in a time of confusion. And I think we fit in Peter's shoes more so than anything else. Some of the most amazing parts about this are that we can see that these individuals struggled with receiving good news because their minds were so encompassed about the brutality and the hardships that they just faced. You know, and in times of confusion, it's hard to accept good news. They couldn't wrap their minds around what's being told. They couldn't truly accept that good message. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, we've mentioned this before. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Easter is not something that can be contained. Easter is about literally blowing up everything that we once knew. Peter couldn't wrap his mind around a dead man who was brought back to life by himself. You know, never in Christianity, never in the history of Scripture was that ever the case. There was always an external force, whether it be a prophet's bones, or whether it be a hand of a prophet, or whether it be a miracle of some scenario that got brought into place just right where God would bring an individual back to life. You know, it was never just by themselves. And so when Peter heard this, of course he was skeptical. Of course, you know, his doubt overwhelmed him. Of course, all those things. But I want us to see something here, is that good news and the gospel has a chance to penetrate all those doubts and get us to a place of wonder and to get us to a place of seeking. And if there's one thing I want this video to do, is to implant into people's lives a desire to seek truth. And we see Peter here, and he chews on this, and he says, well, if I'm going to believe this, I've got to see it for myself. We see him go back to the tomb and desire that good news, and he tries to chew it out. Go back to these verses with me. As we look at verses 11 and verse 12, he says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then Peter arose and ran into the sepulcher. And the stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass." One of the commentators that I read across says, when Peter was wondering here, he was almost looking at it like a CSI scene, that he was trying to figure out the intentions and the motives behind a folded cloth, the folded linens that were there. That's why it's so specific in here in John, is that that made no sense to Peter. Either one, the enemies would have rushed in and they were presented to the body. They wouldn't even cared about the linens. That just his body would have been enough, and they would have been strangled out to the floor. They would have took him with them. Probably not. But they would have been thrown about. There had been no care left for those. And even if they were sent out by a friend, they would have taken them to at least partially close them. There's no reasons that the linens that they wrapped Jesus in would have been folded and placed back onto there. Peter's thoughts were stringing for hope, grabbing at straws, if you will, wanting to believe this thing and seeking out this truth. Later on, we do see that Jesus appears in the midst of them and gives them undeniable proof of his life. And even doubting Thomas, you know, says, "I can't believe what it is I'm seeing." And Jesus tells him, "Hey, you know, put your fingers in my palms, thrust your fingers into my side. This is me. You saw these wounds, Thomas, and you saw me suffer, and I'm living for your benefit, and I'm giving this life that I have lived, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you this power. I'm giving you this life, and it's all up for you." I want us to become seekers of truth. As we're coming to a close, I want us to say something, and I want it to be a benefit to you. I want you to have life. I want you to have a better life. I want you to have the best life. I want you to be free from your sins. I want you to be happy. But that doesn't involve, that's just not a textbook. That's not something that's easy. That's not something where you can say a prayer and everything's better. But I want you to trust. I want you to trust in God in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. I want you to give your marriage to God. I want you to give your job to God. I want you to give everything about your life to a Christ that is willing to give more. But you've got to be willing to trust him. And you've got to be willing to lay down. I promise you this, the more that you give him, the more happy you will be. I believe that. I know that. I've experienced that. And I want you to have this peace and life about you. But I want to provoke you into trusting him. And I want to push you into righteousness. And I want to push you into good works. And I want you to spread this gospel around, so that you and others in your lives could have so much happiness. A life dedicated to Jesus isn't crazy. It's real. It's the way that life was meant to be. Jesus gave us all so that we can have it all. I want you to take a minute. I want it to sink in how amazing what this crisis has done. It's allowed everybody to preach and to teach this wonderful gospel. And I want you to be part of its growth. I want you to be part of this online revival, if you will. This social revival of when people coming back to God in the midst of a crisis. And when the doors of the churches open back up, I want you to be there. I want you to be praising God with the rest of us as we celebrate the life-giving power that is in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't tell you how amazing and how exciting it has been to do Easter online. I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope more so than anything that you find peace and that you find happiness and that you find a better life and an abundant life in the words that were spoken today. My name is Pastor James Bradley. I pastor here in Morehead City at the First Free Will Baptist Church. We hope that you'll come by, join us sometime, and that we can, once this crisis is over, hug your neck. Thank you for being a part of our online services. We hope to see you soon. And until then, trust in Christ, give praises to His name, and have a wonderful Easter. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.